extraordinary quality is just another euphemism for mediocrity, where participation is more highly valued than achievement, where just enough to get by is the new standard of excellence. There is a small minority of people who fight back against such apathy, who struggle daily to reach new heights. These brave few are the hope for the future, the bright shining light for the next generation. They are the ones who will lead us to the places we have never dreamed of, to the undiscovered country, to reach goals only a few can even begin to imagine. Unfortunately, none of those people could be here tonight, so kick back and relax. Prepare yourself for several hours of fun, friendship, fascinating conversation, and fabulous music. All those F's, that's an alliteration and kind of a radio trick. Speaking of radio, you're listening to the most popular radio station in the history of broadcast radio, at least among stations that originate from Chris's living room. It's Curious Times. Your host is a curious listener. Here she is, Chris.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Curious Times. It's December. December the 2nd. Unbelievable. Wow, you guys. What a crazy speed with which this year has traveled. Anyhow, Hillary's here. And just going to walk over here to the little Curious Times calendar and inform you that this is our last show with Hillary this calendar year. And so there you go. There's that trivia. Diana is here tomorrow. Lisa Nolan Chalosky is here on Tuesday, Wednesday. Barbara DeLong, Thursday we're off. Friday, Selva is back. And so that's what's coming up in the next little while. And so Hillary's here now. She is she's many things. She's intuitive. She's a psychic medium, a clairvoyant. She's a clair everything pretty well. And she's an empath, and she can do psychometry and tarot. And I think pendulum is, like, really, pendulum should be, like, listed, you know, third or fourth, okay, after all the clairs, fifth, you know, because I feel that she really is quite proficient with the pendulum, and most at ease, it seems, with the pendulum. She's a healer and a teacher, a minister, oh my goodness, and she's a life and a business coach, and if you want to find out more about all the things Hillary Black can do, and or book a private reading with Hillary, then you can go on over to her website at www.askhillaryblack.com, and on Facebook, facebook.com/AskHillaryBlack, or Google Ask Hillary Black, or Hillary Black, or anyway, that's, you know, you got the idea. And so let's just go jump to her and find out how Hillary's doing right before the crazy season starts here.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I am good.
Good. So, excellent.
How are you guys snowing over there in Canada?
Oh, shit. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? It's snowing since September where I live. Jesus. It's like, but today it happens to be quite a dump, if you know what I mean. Quite a dump,
yes,
going on over,
yes,
there. Quite a lot of snow. I hear shoveling a lot around me. I haven't looked.
I never enjoyed shoveling in the snow. So I went to Colorado, as I told you guys, for the holiday to see my children. And I had been away from Colorado. Well, I visited a couple times the last 4 years, but I've been gone for 4 years, and my daughter was telling everyone, well, my mom's been gone for 10. And I'm like, no, it hasn't been that long. But it was amazing. I have arthritis. I have osteoarthritis. I was in so much pain in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I really was seriously considering moving back there. I was like, oh, my God, I miss my children,
yeah,
terribly, even though they're adults. And, you know,
yeah,
they settled down there. You know, one still has to finish college. And, you know, maybe I'll go back, you know, kind of thing, or have a house, or have a place in California, and have a place in Colorado. It could be a dream for sure. But
right.
I can barely move. I just, like,
yeah,
my bones just locked up.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. I know. Well, and for me, because I also have osteoarthritis and a bunch of other problems with my back. And so what tends to happen with me is that the colder I get, like once I catch that bad chill, then all the muscles, everything in my back tenses up, which causes more pain. And it's just an insane cycle. And it's really not... I had a doctor joke with me once about writing a prescription for me to live in tropical weather. You know what I mean?
right, exactly. I'm sitting here in California again at a beach because I work today, and so I was at clients' houses and such, and so I went, I know that there's a beach close to me, and so that's where I'm at.
You like doing Curious Times by the Beach. We should take this. That should be the new Sunday night. Curious Times that goes to the beach. Or Curious Times, you know, what a beach. What a beach. Life
yeah.
is a beach. Life is a
Life
beach.
Life is a beach. Life That's a right.
Beach. Life
Absolutely.
Is a beach in Curious Times. There you go. There you go. The last place, I imagine that we'd have to have like a snowmobile to get through to a beach or something like that around here. But anyway, it's very interesting to be in a place that you're not used to climate-wise at a time like this, like if you're used to winters and suddenly to be somewhere where you're not with you know, snow and cold and wind and blah and blustering and blizzarding and all that. It's kind of weird, and you've been in that situation, hey?
Yeah. I mean, I said to my kids, how did I handle this for 20 years? I mean, they did not believe me when I told them I'm really having a hard time walking, and they're like, Mom, stop joking around. Seriously, I'm not playing, you know, kind of thing. So yeah. I just was a little surprised. I just got acclimated to California so quickly.
Yeah. Well, I believe that it's easier to acclimate to a warmer than it is to a colder, but I could be wrong. I'll tell you what, I would have every kind of difficulty, like going to one of those places where like the air is 120 degrees going in your lungs or something like that. You know what I mean? Like I just wouldn't be able to handle it so hot.
Well, that's true. So it's like, you know, it's really finding the right place for you to be.
Yeah.
And really, I think it's all about in life. The lesson is, there's many lessons, but really what's finding right for you as a person. Because, you know, everything comes, you know, from us in a sense. So, you know, as we've always talked about, the experience on the outside is a reflection of experience on what we feel on the inside. And
right.
You know, so the thing is that when we're trying to figure out who we are and where we want to be, even if we're 12 years old, you know, or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, things change a lot. We still can, you know, still a part of getting to know ourselves because our story changes or our dreams can change. And it's
right.
being in touch with that, in touch with who we are. Because someone said to me the other day, where do you want to live? And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to live in California, but it's, you know... It's the cost.
Yeah.
And,
right.
But then again, you know, if we sit here and say we can't do it, then we can't do it. It's like, where's the fine line of reality and then the fine line of creating and manifesting, which we've talked about this whole entire time. So one of the things that I was, I had taken some classes recently, and the gentleman who was teaching the classes had said, he referenced Henry Ford, and I think I don't know if I've talked about it probably in the last couple, you know, shows, but how Henry Ford, you know, when people told him he couldn't do it, and I think he only had an 8th grade education, he didn't listen to him. He just did it.
No. Yeah. Well, and I find that that's actually when that's what would motivate me more. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it is that when I'm out to prove somebody else wrong. You know what I mean? That'd be like, okay. Well, you just sit over there and watch then, you know? But, yeah, like to me that was a good motivator for me, was to have somebody smack talk me or suggest I couldn't do something, you know? I was thinking last night, like, it's funny you said it that way, because, like, I was thinking last night, like, I wonder if, like, for some people, for example, right, if they, and this wouldn't be the case for everybody because nothing is everything, right? And so you can't ever say always. But it kind of weaves in with manifesting or with, you know, this whole idea of I can't, and then you won't be able to kind of thing. And it's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy or something. But it's like these some people who, let's say that somebody truly believes with their whole heart in the psychic that they use or in just a psychic, right? And then they're calling about something like a job or whatever. And like, so then the psychic tells them, yes, you're going to find work. You're going to spend a lot of time looking for work and you're going to apply to many places, but you're going to find work fairly soon. All of a sudden, does just that person hearing a psychic say that, right, put them into a different mind space of, okay, and they said I would be applying to lots, so I better apply to lots, you know what I mean? And so then, poof, all of a sudden they get a job. And did the psychic, you know what I'm saying? So that if they really believe in the psychic, and if the psychic is responsible in that way of saying, like, you'll be putting some work into it, but yeah, I could see that happening, right? Then does that person, you know, now, does the same person who gets a no from the psychic, maybe that says, I don't see anything for about 4 months for you, right? So does that same person sort of like stay stuck for 4 months then?
Well, we're all responsible for our feelings and our behavior, right? But
yeah.
at the same time, that is the thing about the whole key to this is listening to our own intuition. So really, and it's not, everyone has their own definition of what a psychic is and how a psychic can be beneficial to them and that sort of thing. But at the same time, even when someone's gathering information, because the psychic really is just the conduit, and they're really just the purveyor of information, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just gathering the information, and they're telling the person, the querent, I don't know how exactly to say that, the person who's coming to gather, you know, having the questions, and then that person really has to filter whatever is said, and they have to see how it applies to them, and they have free will and choice what it is that they choose to do, right? So I always tell everybody, you're the captain of your boat.
That's right.
You're captain it, right?
Yeah.
I'm just showing you River A, River B, and River C. I can be the co-captain if you like me to, and I can help you and coach you, kind of thing. But at the same time, you have free will. You have choice. I'm just showing you the rivers. You decide what river you want to go on. It's your responsibility to lead your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's about accountability and responsibility. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't have accountability and responsibility we all do in our positions, right? But at the same time, the person who's coming to get the information also, that's the key thing. It's like, let's say you go to the doctor's office and you look at the doctor like they're God. What you're doing is you're giving your power over to the doctor.
Yeah.
And you're not empowering yourself. You're putting yourself in the victim role.
That's another good example, though. It's like if you tell somebody, you know, like I've always felt like that if you tell somebody, like, you got 2 weeks left, then they'll have 2 weeks left. If the person doesn't have any idea that there's something wrong with them, right, they'll last another couple years.
Well, it depends. I mean, they could. There's people that miraculously heal from, you know, and you know, there's miracles. I believe in miracles, you know. Not everyone does of, you know, certain things that have happened and they have ailments and they miraculously heal, you know, kind of thing. And it could be through the power of thought. I mean, there's many reasons why people miraculously heal. You know, they call it a miracle because usually they don't have an explanation for it, right? It's the unexplainable. It's you know, not possible. Well, you know, not possible can be possible.
Yeah.
You just got to believe. You've got to believe. And so that's the biggest thing. That's called a catch-22 situation. The catch-22 is, how do I explain a catch-22? If you're doing the work, but you don't believe, then you're counterintuitive to what you're trying to do. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, here on the power of the subconscious mind on page 56, you know, what happens is that it says, why would affirmation of wealth fail? Well, it's not just the affirmation of wealth failing. It's any affirmation failing. Any affirmation failing. And I probably have read this before, but I have taught, and it's, you know, Power of Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. It says, I have talked to many people during the past 35 years whose usual complaint is, I've said for weeks and months, I am wealthy, I am prosperous, and nothing has happened. So it's whatever your affirmation is, whatever their affirmation is that they want. Again, we can't change anyone but ourselves. We can only shift our energy, but by shifting our energy, people around us, their energy will shift up or out. Because again, they have free will. I discovered that when they said, I'm prosperous and I'm wealthy, they felt within that they were lying to themselves. See, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So one man told me, I affirmed that I am prosperous until I am tired. And he says things now got worse, and things are now worse. And so he says things are now worse. I know when I made a statement that it was obviously not true. His statements were rejected by the conscious mind, and the very opposite of what he outwardly affirmed and claimed was made manifest. Your affirmation succeeds best when it is a specific, and it does not produce a mental conflict or argument, which is usually what happens when people don't believe, right? And here, hence, the statement made by this man made matters worse because they suggested his lack. Your subconscious mind accepts what you really feel to be true, not just the outer words or statements. The dominant idea or belief is always accepted by the subconscious mind. But the person who's choosing to believe, they're responsible for what they believe.
Yeah.
It's about us taking accountability for ourselves. Because a lot of people are looking at everyone else and blaming other people for their stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like we got to clean our side of the street.
That's right. Say it, sister. Say it.
So, you know, and when we look at our stuff, sometimes it's not pretty. You know, we look at our stuff. We all have, you know, positive. We all have negative stuff. You know, you call it light or dark, whatever you want to call it. We all have it. You know, the teacher told me in class, or not just to me, but to everybody in class, he said, listen, and it's he's a spiritual guy, but I call it like a hybrid NLP that he teaches, neuro-linguistic programming, and I don't know any other way to explain it, and, you know, he's been trained by some really big people, big coaches, so to speak. But he had said, you know, and he's intuitive as well, but he said, you know, we're spiritual beings having this human experience, and we come down here to experience to get to the light. And I'm like, why? And he goes, well, we were light when we were up there, but we come down here. It's kind of like, he didn't explain it this way. This is how I see it. We were a chocolate Easter egg, right? Because I love chocolate. So this is why I put it this way. So, when I get to my chocolate Easter egg, I eat, you know, I can eat the foot, I can eat the ear, I can eat whatever colors, you know, whatever place I want to. And that's just getting the darkness off of you, right? Because you're having these experiences and you're letting go of your baggage, you're letting go of your rocks to get to the light. And then all of a sudden you become this light being. And that's raising your vibration. But how do you do that? By taking responsibility for your stuff and your feelings. Somebody may have done something, but you may have that feeling stuck in you. You've got to release that feeling.
Right.
That's what I mean by doing your work.
Yeah, indeed.
So here we have, you know, I can't speak for Canadian healthcare, but I mean for the U.S., I really thought Obama was going to do an HMO, and I was all for the HMO. Not everyone is great for health care management, HMO, healthcare management organization. A lot of people like the 80-20 kind of thing. Well, I looked at the money, and I'm thinking, we can't afford the 80-20, but that's the way they decided to go. They decided to go the 80-20, you know, a PPO, which is a preferred provider, that sort of thing. But if you're your own advocate, you know, the HMO system can work for you. Because my, I as a child, I was raised in, the Navy, that's what they use. They use the HMO service, and that's what my dad, he was Navy. He was military. Mm-hmm. And so, but you have to be your own advocate. You have to, you can't hand your power, and you can't, you know, look, I'm not saying the doctors aren't intelligent. They're very intelligent beings. But you have to go within your own heart and your own intuition and listen to your own intuition and know if this is right for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, for sure. No, you're right.
So the thing is that, and I think it's that way in everything in life. So we're as beings, we have to look and say, is this right for me? So what's right for our neighbor may not be right for us. What's right for us may not be right for our neighbors. And the hard part is coming into, well, I don't want to call it hard, but coming in and knowing yourself is the most important thing. Because This is one of the things he mentioned in class, too. He was saying, let's think about this. He said, your parents know you really well, your friends know you really well, so of course you're going to call them, you're going to ask the information to them, right? But again, ultimately the decision lies on us. Intuitively, the decision lies on us for ourselves, and because we're the ones who needs to do what's right for ourselves, right? He said, but think about it. The universe has known you from the time of conception. And they have listened to every thought, every word, everything. So why wouldn't you get your information from spirit? And why aren't you, and that's not just, okay, you go see a reader, but that's also listen to your own intuition too. Not just what the reader has to say, even though they're just a conduit and just bringing the message forth. Listen to your own intuition as that information is coming in, as the purveyor of information is giving you some realities, because I call it the reality highway that I read, river A, river B, river C, or whatever you want to call it, road A, B, and C, then they need to go listen to their own intuition and get in there and say, okay, which one's right for me?
Right. Yep.
Because where we put our intent and where we're putting our mind, just as the book says, our conscious, our subconscious mind has to be in alignment with what our head has to say. So we have our adult self and we have our little boy or little girl, which is the subconscious mind and the head. I think in the book he says it's opposite way, but for some reason that's how it is to me. Mm-hmm. And so once you get in that alignment, that's when the magic happens. That's where the manifest happens, and you just put out to the universe what it is that you want. Sometimes you're not specific enough. Sometimes we're too specific, kind of thing. If we get too detail-oriented and too specific, we're not allowing ourselves to have a better experience or a better to come. But if we're not specific enough and we're ambiguous, then that's what they're going to give us, is ambiguity.
Yeah. So I remember one year I was listening to a guy, and he's like, it was like the end of the year. It was like probably New Year's Eve, he said, stay curious, which I always laughed at because of the name of my show, stay curious and expect miracles. And so it's to say like that, you should go out with the expectation of, it's another discussion to get your hopes up and then get blah, blah, blah. But like, when you're going after something, you got to have the vision that you're going to do it and you can do it and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right. You have to have the vision you can do it, but you have to believe that you can do it. So it's not only having the vision. So it's putting the intent out there. So you put the words out there, which you're programming yourself when you say the words, when you speak out loud, you're programming yourself. And so then what happens is that you have to feel every cell in your body has to be filled up with that emotion, whatever that emotion, because that's what makes the shift happen. And that's what I mean by the catch-22. If you say, okay, well, I want to do this work, but you don't believe that it can be done, then you're counteracting yourself.
Right,
and,
that's right.
And then when you have all the feelings in your body, because the feelings is kind of like a Star Wars sonic boom out to the universe, where, you see on Star Wars, it goes boom, and it goes out that energy. And I call it the boomerang because the energy goes out, and then it boom, and it grabs all the stuff, and it boomerangs, and it comes all back to you.
Yeah.
and then you have to visualize what it is that you want. Now, some people will get upset and say, well, this stuff doesn't work because that person that I wanted didn't come in. Well, the problem is we get attached to the to the final product, or to what it is that we're asking for, or how we're attached to how it's supposed to look like. So we can say, okay, universe, I want to have this job, right? And you're looking for a certain kind of job, and the job that you expected didn't show up. You got a job that might be better for you, and it's telecommuting, and you were thinking of having a 9-to-5 job at, you know, going into the office, and you weren't even thinking that telecommuting would be better for you.
Right. Right. Yeah, because you weren't, it wasn't even on your mind, but it turns out that it, you know, that's why I say, like, it's got, you gotta, at the end of the day, you gotta have some faith in the sort of overall grand scheme of the universe, you know? And that if, and that for those people that are willing to do their part, you know what I mean? That, you know, things can work out. If you don't, like, again, it always comes back to, like, don't fight the current, you know what I mean? Like, don't fight the current. If you're, like, sort of stuck in a river, right? You don't fight the current, like, relax and go with the current, because you could drown and die, losing all of your strength by fighting against the current. So,
right.
You gotta, you know, put on your safety gear and go for the ride, you know.
Right.
You know, I remember another thing that I heard somebody say, you know, I can't remember who to attribute this to, but it's like, you know, the a common denominator between, you know, successful people is like they show up. You've got to show up.
Well, that's it. Action.
You got to be there to do, you know. And so you got to be there. You got to be there on time. You got to be there. You got to be there and be in it. Be in the fight. You can't win the fight if you're not in the fight. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then a lot of people say, well, you know, you get in a read-em and then nothing happens. Well, because did they take the action, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that person, like you said, well, they said I wasn't going to get a job for 4 months. So what do? They don't apply for anything, and then all of a sudden they apply in the 4th month and they don't get anything.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the action may have needed to happen for them to apply all 4 months because they apply. And then all of a sudden, they start talking to people and they're networking and they're like, yeah, I know, I'm looking for a job, and they're
well,
you know,
or they get, or they don't get, like, this happens to a lot of people sometimes in a bigger company. It's like, so you might not get that job, but then they'll ask if they can hang on to your resume for the future openings. And, you know, and you could get a call then for a different job at the same place. But if you'd never applied at that place in the first place, you know what I mean, then they wouldn't have your contact info when the next vacancies came. So yeah, I mean, it's like I've said before, is like if you, a psychic tells them it's going to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, then they won't stop and give the time of day to any brown-haired guy. But I'm saying, like, you might have to meet the brown-haired guy, and the blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy is best buddies with the brown-haired guy, but you ain't ever going to meet him unless you interact with the brown-haired guy. So don't get all hyper-focused on only blonde dudes then, you know?
Well, exactly. And that person could have been blonde hair, blue eyes when they were born, and then all of a sudden have brown eyes and brown hair.
Or whatever, but the point is simple. More, you know, because the way things have sort of happened for me before is, like, things seem to have launched off of some other previous encounter. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with your statement. You're right. I mean, talk to the brown hair guy. He may be friends with the blonde hair, blue eye. I agree with you. We're trying to micromanage God, and so we're trying to control the how, and that's the hard. That is because you have to surrender, and surrendering and having faith. Because what shifts you is faith and gratitude. What holds you back is the fear and the anger. And so we get in the fear and anger that we're not going to get it. But like you're saying, surrender, go with the current, go with the flow, put the safety gear on, but go with the flow and, you know, see where it takes you. Put the intent out to the universe. Be clear in what it is that you want, right? And if you're not clear, then, you know, as God will bring things to you that you may not want to help you get that clarity. Because I think we talked in the last episode that there's 6 reasons why, you know, you don't get what you want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of them is God has a better plan for you than you have for yourself. Number two, it's timing. Number three, it's our blocks, our obstacles, our lessons, our patterns. Number four, God gives you what you need, not what you want, because it's like a step, you know? You want to get from the first level to the second level, you got to take the stairs. And so you got to get, you need the stairs to get to the second level. So he's going to have to give you what you need first before you can get your want, which is getting to the second level. And then, you know, God gives you where you're at, and that's an energetic match. And so if people are showing up or a situation showing up that you're not liking it, it's a mirror to where you're at. Oh, I'm not liking this. Maybe I'll go in and look and say where I need to get, you know, do a little bit more internal work. I thought I had done that. And you may have done it, but now you're on another level. You've got another, you know, because the universe is not going to show you, the universe isn't going to show you everything. It only shows you what you can handle in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be overwhelming. And then the last thing is that God gives you, sometimes the universe will give you things that you don't want to help you get clarity of what you do want.
Yes.
But as you put out there, you know, you've got to go with the flow, as you said, and, you know, kind of see where it is, because that's how the magic of the how happens, right? They're the ones who are putting that puzzle piece together. We're not. And if we're trying to, we're going to be exhausted.
Indeed.
Trying to force something to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that hard, I don't think.
Well, I
you
agree.
Know what
I mean, relationships and marriage can be very hard. Relationships, but I agree with you in the sense that it's the serendipitous thing doesn't necessarily, if the creation does not have to be that hard, you know?
I guess we make it as hard. I guess we have a role to play in how hard we make it for ourselves too, hey?
I totally agree with that.
And there's a lot of people that are their own worst enemy, in a way. You know what I mean? Their own block.
We are. We sabotage ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
And we block ourselves, you know? So, you know, when we get into this attitude that nobody likes us or, you know, nobody cares and, you know, kind of thing. And if, we, you know, someone has said to me she was not really happy on Thanksgiving, and she decided to shift her energy, and you know, she decided at a certain time frame, she goes, you know what, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself anymore, and I'm going to feel better about this, and I'm just going to be in a happy mood. All of a sudden she just got flooded with calls and texts of happy Thanksgiving.
She
shifted her energy, and even though she spent Thanksgiving, I think, by herself, I can't remember, you know, because that's why she was not real thrilled, because I'm sure she got invites and everything, but she decided not to go to the places that she was invited to go, you know, because she was attached to an outcome. She had a certain outcome of where she wanted to be on Thanksgiving, and it didn't work out with the way she wanted it to be. So she got into this mood because she got attached to the outcome instead of having other experiences that were presented to her and didn't go anywhere, stayed home, and then decided later, I mean, in the early afternoon, she goes, what am I doing? I'm the one who's being upset about this whole thing. I'm the one who's depressed about this. This is ridiculous. And then she said, I'm going to be happy. And then all of a sudden, boom, texts and phone calls, happy Thanksgiving. And she was just so shocked of how fast the energy shifted.
But that's a beautiful instant. It's like when... This is going to be kind of funny, but like with children or dogs, like when you're trying to train them,
Right.
You have to give them instant feedback. So if they've done something wrong, you got to be on it right then. You can't go 3 hours later. And when they do something good, you got to be on it instantly. Like, oh, that's great. And so I view that as being like a pat on the back from the universe. Saying, there you go. Now we're going to reward you for that. And it's like an instant karma right there for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was impressed. I was like, wow. Because I, you know, even though I really was so excited to spend Thanksgiving with my children and I enjoyed it, I didn't get much. I don't remember. I only got one or two, three texts from my friends for happy Thanksgiving. I was a little surprised. I was like, whoa. Right. And, you know, I was where I wanted to be. and I was very happy that I was there, but I was surprised that I didn't get any texts or happy Thanksgiving or anything like that. And I went, okay, you know.
Did all your people know you were going, but did all your people know you were going away and going to be traveling and all that?
Yeah, some of them did. I mean, I think some of them did and stuff, but, you know, even if I was traveling and stuff or that sort of thing, I still send it to people. But, I mean, I even sent them to my friends that never even sent them back. I was like, wow. Okay, I'm sitting here thinking, have I been a good friend lately?
Right.
Have I not been social enough, you know, because, sometimes I'm not.
It's also, you know, like, it's possible, too, that, like, things aren't in the best shape out there in the world right now, you know? And I think that this is affecting people. I think it's really affecting, like, people in large numbers. And so for all I know, you know, people have their minds on other things or, whatever it is, you know? I can't presume to know, but I find that would be, for that to happen, probably has something to do with it. I wonder if if a lot of people had the same experience is what I'm getting at, right? It's like that they had less people, you know, sort of PMing them or doing whatever it is you people do with your smartphones. What do you call that, texting?
Right. And I'm not a big texter. It's just a, kind of thing. It was a holiday thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I normally would text a plethora of people, and I didn't that day because it takes a while to text a lot of people.
See, now there's the other thing, right? Like, there's a lot of people. I say there's a possible reason. Like, how many times is it that people are writing to you to say that because you've been the one to write to them first?
yeah, that's true. So they didn't hear from me, so they didn't send it.
Yeah, there you go. And so, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
So, did you put a tree up right after Thanksgiving? Because I know a lot of people do that.
No, don't be ridiculous. No. I don't put a tree up anyway. But I found a little tree that's like a little teeny miniature built, like in a little pot. It's like so, you might even be lucky if it's 1 foot like, tall or something.
Maybe. We call those Charlie Brown trees.
And so it's not like real or any, like it's just like a little fake little, in a little pot and like it's just like, so anyways, I found that a couple years ago or whatever. It's like a couple times I brought it out and like planted on the, one year I hung it behind me so that when I was on the webcam, it would be back there on the wall. And so no, I'm not much of a. I used to, but what I think had happened is I'm the kind of person I don't mind doing the decorating. I don't mind it being decorated and all. I hate is taking it down. You know what I mean? And it always felt kind of sad. It always felt kind of sad to me, so I just stopped doing it. You know what I mean? I just stopped doing it anyway.
So why is it? If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer this. But why is it?
No, I guess when you take it down. Like, it's over, Christmas is over, blah, 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 going to be a whole other year. You know, like, that kind of, like, we're talking years ago. You know what I mean? Years ago, I stopped doing anything.
Yeah.
And I live alone anyway, so, you know what I mean? It's kind of a waste. I could just hang some... I could just hang some tinsel up around my computer screen, because that's about all I ever look at anyway, and I could have, I could have Christmas decorations. No, I'm not much of a, you know what I mean? But the reason I stopped doing it in the first place was, like, it was kind of sad to take it down.
Yeah. So it's about having festive joy in your life all year round.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
That really is the message, then. If it was sad, down the festive holiday decorations.
And maybe subconsciously, because I always say, like, why do people have to wait until one time of the year to decide to preach that they should be nice to each other?
You know what I mean?
Like, why can't
people
as a matter of default behavior, be nice to people? Right?
Right.
And,
so then there wouldn't be a special time of year where we would have to be on our best behavior because we were just used to being nice to everybody, right? And so in that sense, the joyousness of, you know, of the season, for, like, of other people maybe, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Everybody's back to the grind again then, you know what I mean? And then people go back to being their same rude selves. I mean, a lot of them are right through, but you kind of know what I mean. It's like, I've always, like goodwill toward men and all that. Like, why do you guys say that one time a year, like about 3 days before Christmas, and then that's it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand it. Be nice all the time. Conduct yourself every day as though it's Christmas time. There you go.
That's a good point.
You know, every day is
absolutely
Christmas. Be nice to me and give me presents because every day is Christmas.
Well, there can be, you know, all different kinds of presents in a sense of, you know, well, I wouldn't say opening a door is a present, but, you know, somebody may make that person's day that they open the door for you.
Of course.
Your hands are full of packages and they open the door for you, or they're just doing it because they're, you know, I don't want to get into the being gentlemanly or not gentlemanly, because nowadays, who knows, some people have an offense to it and I shouldn't even mention any of it. So, but yeah, if you have packages and someone's opening the door for you and you can't even get to the door, you know, you have to put your packages down. That's a kind thing to do. And I think it makes a difference in a person's day.
Yeah.
So.
I'm the kind of person, it's funny because somewhere along the line I came across a video that was like, I don't know, it's something like Canadians holding doors or something like this. And it's like showing how, like, you know, here you are, it's like a Tim Hortons coffee place or something. So you're going and then there's more people coming. So you just keep keeping the door open for them and you just keep keeping the door open for them. And like this whole thing carries on. And meanwhile, you're like, I used to say to people, just call me Carlton. Because remember Carlton, the doorman on the Jeffersons or whatever? I was like,
yeah,
call
yeah.
me. Just call him Carlton, you know what I mean? And it's like, it was funny for me to see that because I was seeing myself, you know, it's like there's certain things that just like, I guess are like, just like ingrained in you, you know what I mean? So I think we're a little bit different here about the idea of, although I'm not going to say that there's not some women libbers or whatever that are all, get all dusted up because somebody, some man wants to hold the door open for them or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm of the mind, like, I don't care if you're a man, woman, child, and you're willing to open a door for me, that's brilliant. Thank you. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you're right, because to emphasize your point is, and people had to get this through me years back, you know what I mean? Because I would never accept nothing, you know what I mean? Like, don't send me, like, people would want it to, you know, whatever, send me a gift or do it, I'm all like, nope, 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 nope. And, like, people then started putting it to me, like, what if, you know, you're making, like, somebody, it would bring joy, that you would make somebody happy to do something for you. And by you saying no, you're taking away their desire to do something, you know,
right.
And
right.
feel good. And,
right.
you know, what... And so then, you know, I kind of like had to keep on looking at that, you know what I mean? And yeah, and some people would get offended by it. If you
yeah.
refuse
yeah.
and, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people should not get offended, but I all, like, see, I'm trying to find the middle ground. I understand both sides, you know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't want, wouldn't want anyone to, but that's true. I'll tell you a quick story about an elder. He is a Cree elder, and he kept on always wanting to come and visit me all the time at the college, you know what I mean? And we became quite close, really, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and so he would, you know, he would come a lot and spend time and share time and everything like this. He would say, when I come around you, I feel good, he says. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like he was trying to tell me that he feels like that that being around me is healing for him. You know what I mean? And so that's fine. That's good. But one day he comes to the office and he's got this sash, a Métis sash. And it's one that Governor General of Canada gave to him. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So now,
yeah.
So he's trying to give this to me, right? And
yeah.
I'm like, whoa, like that's, like a Governor General gave that to you. I can't take that. You know what I mean? Like I was,
right.
I saw, that was my reason. Like if it would have been, if I would have just thought it was just a sash, I would have gratefully accepted the sash and thanked him for the gift and all of that, right? But like to me, like that is seen as something like I wouldn't want to see him give away. And so I was coming at it from the wrong thinking. Now, so that's fine. Like he didn't like treat me any different, but I feel like that it hurt him that I refused the gift. You know what
right.
I mean? And I didn't realize that until after, you know? But I just thought, like, and here I am still even trying to justify it. Like, I think it was the wrong thing to do, for sure. I should have just accepted it, you know? But I was, I was embarrassed to accept such a thing, you know what I mean? Like, to take such a thing that was, like, given by a governor general, for heaven's sake, you know? At some special event, right? And so... So I was wrong, and I don't believe the man ever tried to give me anything ever again. You know what I mean? Like, but he still was my friend and all, but he wouldn't speak of it. You know what I mean? But I realized way after the fact, like, how I had done that wrong. You know? Like, when I was trying to refuse the gift... You okay?
Yeah, I'm here.
When I was trying to refuse the gift, it was like I was saying those things, like, I cannot take something that was given to you by a governor general. It's far too important, and, like, I gave him that reason as to why I was, you know, not accepting the gift. But I had not been clued into the whole idea of accept people's gifts, you know what I mean, no matter what, I guess, you know? And,
And like you said, there's always two sides. I mean, I can see your point of you're not wanting to take something that is an incredible, important memory, and having something that represents that memory, you know, kind of thing from him. But in a sense, he wanted to share this joy with you because it made him so happy and made him feel good, because it's really about all how we feel when we're around people. And he wanted to share this joy with you, and he respected you enough to give you something that was so important to him.
Yes, I realize that now, you know what I mean? And I completely handled it wrong at that time, absolutely.
Well, you know, everything's a learning experience, so, you know,
don't beat yourself up for it.
I've been there too, and sometimes it's hard, in a sense, to receive, and I realized I wasn't very good at receiving, especially gifts or help from anybody, because I wanted to show how independent I was and how smart I was, because there's certain people in my family that don't think I'm so smart, and that's okay, or individuals who just, you know, for whatever reasons, just don't think I'm a smart individual. That's fine. But the thing is that I wanted to prove myself to everybody, right? And so I'm smart, I'm intelligent, you know, I'm independent, I don't need anything from anybody. And so, you know, people would offer me things and I'd say no, and then I would push them away, not even realizing that I pushed them away.
Yeah.
So, and then my children, in turn, don't accept anything from anybody for that reason. They have a very difficult time receiving anything from anyone. And there are times, you know, we are human beings. This is what we're here. We're here to help other. We all help. Well, hopefully, not everyone. But, you know, it's nice to have help from other people. We don't always have to do it alone.
Yeah.
And it's okay to receive and be open to receiving, you know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, again, like you said, go for the ride and put your safety gear on and make sure that it's a healthy thing for you to receive or take. But at the same time, I mean, we have to be open to receiving, because if we want to receive love or we want to receive this, we have to be in a place to be open to receive it.
Yes. So listen, ever since the past few minutes, you've done something that has adjusted your sound and made the sound a little bit crazy.
Okay. Well, let me get you off the thing. Hold on just a moment, because my phone is dying, and I had to plug it in. So I'll turn it. I don't want to all of a sudden be there and the next minute be gone because my phone died.
No, I got you. Well, if it has to stay plugged in, then it has to stay plugged in. You know what I mean? That's fine. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. Let me look at the switchboard here and see what's shaking over there. So it doesn't look like anyone's in queue. So let's do a song break. Why don't you can at least keep it plugged in for that, and we'll see how things go, and we'll just carry on discussion after the song, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go and do that, and I'm going to pick a decently long song just to give an extra 6 minutes of charge time there for Hillary. So here we go.
You've been on my mind. I grow fonder every day with myself in time. Just thinking of your face, God only knows why it's taken me so long to let my doubts go. You're the only one that I want. I don't know why I'm scared. I've been here before. Every feeling, every word, I've imagined it all. You never know if you never try to forgive your past and simply be mine. I dare you to let me be yours, the one and only. Promised I'm worthy to hold in your arms. So come on. Walk that mile until the end starts. If I've been on your mind, you hang on every word I say. Lose yourself in time. At the mention of my name, will I ever go? I don't know why I'm scared, 'cause I've been here before. Every feeling, every word, I've been mad at it all. You never know if you never try to forget your past and simply be mine. Say it, let me be yours.
we're back, and we'll possibly cut this a little bit short. We have fewer people, and if Hillary's got a phone situation, we'll play it by ear and see how we go. And so, you're there, Hillary?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, you can... I will just try to...
I'm gonna go back to unplugging it, so hold on just a minute.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Okay. So now, when you plug it in, is it because it's on hands-free then?
Well, no, yeah, because it's hands-free, because that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And the problem is,
so that's why.
I just think it goes off the hands-free and puts you guys back on my headset.
Okay. Well, as you're running down, if you start hearing beeping or anything, we'll wrap it then, you know what I mean? And,
okay.
And we don't have anyone hanging out in queue waiting for a reading or anything. So as we come up, you know, we are coming up to the end of the year. It is our last show with you before the new year. And so we won't see you again until January, beginning of January, January 3rd. January for you, January 6th. And so... so what thoughts do you have about, you know, the packing this year away and bringing in the next year? And do you have any, have you been the type of person that has been struck by any sort of messages from yonder about what the situations in the world or how things are going to be for the next year?
No, I'm sure that you have other psychics that on shows that will probably really be good about having those global predictions about life, what's going to happen. I mean, a couple friends of mine and I that are psychic, we always talk about it among ourselves, but we never really mention it to anybody because, you know, we just see how it's going to pan out kind of thing. Because the thing is, I think, well, you know, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, in the world, but, you know, as you said, these events are really, we're going through some difficult times, and, you know, it's just, there's so much of the unknown, so I'm sure, I mean, as just a person who, you know, who, let's say I was a psychic, I'd want to know what the life events are coming, you know, down the road, too, and the global events, and that's just not really my specialty. I wish it was, it just isn't. So my specialty is more of helping people, you know, individually through transition.
Yeah. I mean, if each person sorts out their own situation, the whole world is better than for that. But I really mean, like, do you have any, like, I didn't mean for specific, like, predictions, but, like, do you have any general overall, being an empath, you know what I mean, being... tuned in that way, do you have any general, do you have like high hopes or do you feel good about the coming year or?
I feel that if a lot of us listen to our intuition and we follow our intuition, I think things would be really really be positive for all of us.
Right.
In a sense of, oh, I may have to stop the show early.
Okay, are you beeping?
No, I'm not beeping. That's okay. Okay, we're good. So needless to say, the thing is that, you know, I think the most important thing for us is, in general, for us to listen to our own intuition and what's right for us, and really listen to our inner guidance. And connect with spirit, you know. I feel a lot of people are really going in that direction, which really is going to help raise consciousness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the more that people do that, the more we're all going to come, because we're all interconnected, right?
Yeah.
You know, we don't think we have any power, but as we all get on the same energy vibration, we can shift.
Mm-hmm.
We can shift certain things from a negative to a positive, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And I think that there's a lot of people that are, I think, starting to feel more. You know what I mean? And we'll see. Like, this can sometimes mean that there's going to be, like, as we feel more, right, and let's say that we're on opposing sides and each side becomes more passionate about their thing, we would have no problem if everybody was feeling more and all on the same side, right? That would be great. That would be absolutely...
Well, if it's positive.
But, yeah.
If they
right.
were all feeling well, and it was negative, I don't know how good that would be, but go ahead.
No, but even if that's a start, right, that's a start, and, you know, some stuff has to get, you know, get done before, you know, like spring cleaning always is worse before it gets better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, isn't that
and,
the truth?
And so, yeah. I'm just like when you're trying to declutter, you seem to like wind up more cluttered for a minute, like for until the project's done, you know?
Yeah.
And everything's out or packed or whatever it is. And so, but I think that part of it is like along the way, people either stopped or lost the ability, tuned out the ability to feel for their fellow man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
And I can hope that more and more people continue to feel for their fellow man, you know? And then when we get more and more and more... Now, I may not... I'm going to still agree with you on something, but now I can feel you. You know what I mean? And I realize that I can have this discussion with you without hurling hurtful insults at you or, you know, or that kind of a thing, right? And so we can still have, opposite views on things. But what we've lost is the ability to see each other as human beings. As I saw something on TV today, which is that in like some of the African cultures, they have, you know, a greeting, which is not a hello as much as a, I see you, I still see you. In other words, like I see you, I acknowledge you, and so people need to start seeing but feeling for their people, you know, for all people. And we don't have, doesn't mean, like, I think sometimes people get confused, like, that if we disagree, this means we're enemies or something, you know? And we can actually be friends and disagree on some things, you know, and disagree on some fairly big things, you know? It's all a question of how do we handle those things where we have differing opinions on, right? And as we always will, if we will always treat each other with kindness and respect, then everything's better. But people lost the ability to care about anyone or feel for someone else, you know, feel their pain or understand. Mm-hmm. I like this lady that's come out now, and she said, I don't know if she's, like, just recently elected in or something, and she's all, like, I want to know how come it's cheaper for me to have health care now that I'm in this position than when I was a waitress. You know what I mean?
Right. Is this here in the States or is that Canada?
Yeah, over in the States.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like, so now she's going to raise this conscious, you know, raise awareness again on this kind of a disparity that occurs where those people in legislative power vote themselves raises or good benefits or lifelong pensions or whatever it is. And like, what about the waitress that has to have three other part-time jobs and everything else?
Like, right.
Just to keep up. And,
exactly.
And they still can't afford to go to the damn doctor or whatever, you know? And so why can't we give this same coverage that we, as senators or House whatever, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
House representative?
Yeah, representative, is like, why can't everybody have this plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's all have this plan. So that's a woman who is now walking into a better position in life, obviously. But see, she's going to speak out about that. She's going to say, hold on a second, you know. I can't in good conscience be accepting this without now knowing this exists. Now, without trying to implore us to do something more like this for all of our people. right?
Right.
Rather than what most of them do, which is they go, oh, what are all my great side benefits for now being elected into a Senate position, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, and then shutting their mouth about it. Don't want knowing. Don't want my constituencies to know that I get this or that I get that or that, you know, I have way better health care than them and I don't even have to pay for it or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is we need, as more people like that rise up who are willing to say, wait a minute, this is not equal or fair or even a beginning of a level playing field, right?
Right.
And so, like, there's a good example of somebody who's you know, feeling for their fellow man, right? And saying, wait a second. And so maybe a little bit more of this kind of stuff can happen and everybody can start to go, like, I wouldn't, you know, like, it's easy to, like, not care or something, but then if you stop and say, like, if that was my best friend that just happened to, that would hurt my best friend, wouldn't it? And that would make me feel crappy if my best friend was hurt. So
exactly.
Why should I feel okay that person over there just got hurt? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so hopefully it catches is what I'm going to get at. But I think that more people are starting to feel the pain of others a little bit better than has been happening in the past decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, well, if we're coming into that, you know, connected consciousness, you are going to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of, you know, that, you know, connecting to that energy field that's out there, that we're all interconnected, that, you know, the trees and the grass and, you know, humans and they even say field and cars and, you know, it's quantum physics. It is
right.
Proven.
See, I'd like to do something like if I was elected into a position like that, right, is I'd want to then take, say, 10 days at least out of every year, okay, and do,
mm-hmm.
And then do a day in the life of one of my constituents, right? So in other
mm-hmm.
words, I would want to shadow them all day and see what are their experiences. And if I'm
right.
there watching it firsthand, then I can see it rather than people shouting it at me at a town hall meeting. I'm seeing it with my own eyes, you know what I mean? And, like, that would be, you know, that would be kind of a thing, like, that, like, those people gotta understand what it's like to be the little guy, you know? And how hard it is for the people.
Right.
And how can, you know, how can it be okay that these people are, you know, at the trough, so to speak, and so many are without even the basics, right? And,
yeah.
And so anyway, there's hope for me. I feel hopeful. I feel there's going to be a little bit of ugliness and a little bit of like that, but I feel that's what's going to be needed for the sort of makeup session that's coming. You know what I mean? Maybe near the end of next year or something like that.
No, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of people who've had some upsets in their, you know, district and such that they thought that they were doing because they had been there years and years ago. And there's a lot of people being voted into office, you know, that are brand new. So there's
yeah.
some pros and cons to it for sure. I mean, certainly
yeah.
some pros about they're going to want to make some changes, which is great. You know, the cons may be that do they really know government, you know? And the thing is that... you know, certainly there has to be some changes. I mean, our healthcare is just out of sight here. It's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But,
it's insanity. It's
yeah.
insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. So I feel hopeful for this coming up here, and not without the fact that there's going to be, you know, some tense times and some, you know, stuff like that. But I feel like that it's the sort of... it's like the storm before the calm. instead of calm before the storm, you know what I mean? And, but
right.
I feel like that it's going to, a huge part of it will get sorted by, you know, by towards the end of the year, next year. And that'd be great, you know? That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll go back to, you know, to say something. I think it was George Bush that was like talking about a kinder and gentler nation, you know, or, and, like, that's really what it is. It's we have to get as a world kinder and gentler, you know?
I agree. And we're talking about George Senior or George...
Well, I believe it was Senior, the guy that just passed away.
That's passed,
I think it was him that said, you know, about the kinder, gentler. I could be wrong. Maybe it was right. Let me, now I'm going to have to Google it. Okay, who, okay, which president said kinder, gentler, nation? Yeah, it was, it was HW. Oh, wait, let's just see. Bush is, HW, yeah. Herbert Walker, right? He's the guy that wanted the kinder, gentler nation.
Yeah.
In his acceptance speech, he said it. He called for a kinder, gentler nation.
And he and they reported, and of course, I'm going off of memory, that he wrote this beautiful letter to his children about how he wanted to be remembered. And I'm trying to remember the acronym they had, and it said, oh, God, I can't use my phone and look up on the Internet at the same time. I wish I could. And it was a fly, and it was a pilot acronym of when they fly up, you know, ceiling and visibility. Something like that, ceiling and visibility. And I was thinking about it, and, you know, how he wrote this, I just heard my noise on my phone just about to power down. He was just telling his children how he was privileged to be their father and how much he loved them. And I just think that was pretty incredible.
Yeah. You know, he's, I said this, I think, last night, at least to somebody, I think on the show, but maybe in another call I was on, but I didn't agree with that guy very much, you know, but when I watch about his life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very moving that, you know, even if we disagree, I feel that his heart was in it for the country, you know what I mean? And
right.
he was trying so to do his best, what he thought was the best, and that's what people expect of their leaders, right? But he was being led by this, you know, by the desire to do what he thought was best versus anything else, right? You know, hey, I've never ever been a fan of the Bushes, but I also say that I have been known to say frequently that it's the person's like intent that matters a lot to me. You know what I mean? So even if somebody's done or said something that's harmful to me, I look first for what was their motivation for doing it or what was their intent in doing it, right? And if that was just doing the best they could and blah, 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 and other than, then I don't take it any harder, you know, like I don't take it personally, right? And so to me, that somebody does the wrong thing for the right reasons is okayer than doing the wrong thing for all the wrong reasons, right?
Right.
And I feel like that he was really a good guy in that way, and as you hear about it, he treated all the staff with respect and dignity, you know what I mean? He was kind to people, smiled, you know? Like, that's what we've forgotten how to be with people, is be nice to each other, you know? And
you're right.
To watch this guy's life, like, you know, by all accounts, he was a very kind guy in that way. You know, like, he did, if for him to take time to, you know, smile at somebody or be nice to them and in the White House, you know, some nobody, you know what I mean? Quote unquote nobody, right? Then that says a lot about his character, you know. I know that there's people that have all kinds of hatred in that, but like I said, I keep saying, it's like I was no fan of the Bushes, but when I look at a person, you know, like that, now I can go, you know, he had a heart, I think, you know what I mean? And I think that a person in that kind of position needs to have a heart.
Well, I agree. I mean, he's a leader. And I don't tell too many people this, but I'll share it today, that my grandfather was personal friends with President Bush. senior.
Oh, yeah, very cool.
And so I'm trying to remember the story. My grandfather passed, I can't remember how many years ago. Like, and I thought about it because they were friends.
Right.
And, you know, thinking how old my grandfather would be now, you know.
Well, and then, of course, like, has he hooked up with them yet and all that kind of stuff too, right?
Yeah. My grandfather passed in 1994, November of 1994. And the story goes that I don't know exactly for sure, but the story goes that my grandfather was President Bush's fighter pilot instructor in the Navy.
Oh, interesting.
So, again, I don't know for exact sure, but that's the story that I've heard. And what happened was, is I was at my grandfather's house in Lexington, Kentucky, and, you know, at Christmas time, they had put all the Christmas cards in a bowl. And I had walked by it and saw, and I believe that this was when President Bush was actually in office at the time. And I walk by it, and I see the entire family on a Christmas card, and I'm like, and I walk by the table, and I stop, and I go back, and I'm like, what? And
yeah.
I look at it, and it's this white card, and
yeah.
It has a Kodak picture, if I can remember, on the front, and it's all the family on this rock with the water behind them.
Wow.
And I open it up, and my grandfather's name is George, And, you know, his name is George, and it says to my friend George, and it's handwritten from the president. And I'm like kind of stunned, and I'm reading it, and it was thank you for being my friend, and, you know, things that he had said, and I was just shocked. And I went to my grandfather, and I said, why is there a Christmas card from the president on our table? And he's like, oh yeah, we're buddies, like nothing. And I'm like, really? And then he tells me the story, if I remember exactly correctly. And they were friends for many, many years. And, he was a kind man.
Yeah.
So, again, like you said, though, he's a leader. And so whether you agree with him or not, I mean, he definitely did what he felt was right, you know. And everyone has their own opinion about everyone's policies and what they do. But we can always agree to disagree. But
And I don't feel that same way about the son. You know what I mean? Like I don't see him as much as nice of a guy as the dad. You know. But now as he matures, he may, you know what I mean? Like he may be. You know what I mean? For all I know, but I really didn't like the son, George Bush Jr. I did not like him for sure. But anyway, that's a really, really cool story. What a cool story that is. Huh.
Yeah, it was. If I had never seen the Christmas card, my grandfather probably would never even told me.
Wow.
You know, not even a said a word. And you know, it's his friend. It doesn't really matter what his position is in life.
Yeah.
You know, they shared experiences with each other, and that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. That is very cool, because I bet they're going to hook up on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to go, he wants to go see his wife and his baby girl that died when she was so young, and that's who he wants to go. He had said he's pretty sure there's an afterlife and that it's a good afterlife.
Yeah.
He said that.
Yeah, so I didn't know.
Yeah. He did say that, so... That's very cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool if you would say that. Anyway, so on that, I know I heard you say before you were starting to get the noises on your phone. So, well, I guess I have to say, best wishes for the holiday season, and I hope that, everything goes well, and whatever you do is safe and fun and happy and all of that kind of stuff. And I guess we'll see you in the new year.
Yes, we'll see. You guys have I don't know what you guys call it. Do you guys call it Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? Or
you're allowed to say whatever, but we're not as bad as some places as far as,
don't say Merry Christmas or whatever.
Well,
but
politically
no, like,
correct.
I try to be those still. It's like, because then you got people that go, oh, I'm pagan, or I'm this. I'm like, just have a happy holiday season. You know what I mean? Stay
exactly.
safe. See you next year. So, thank you for another awesome year of being on the show.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. A pleasure being here.
I can't believe how fast the time does go, though, right?
It does. Yeah.
Another year.
Very much
another
so.
One bites the dust. So, okay, Hillary, thank you so much, and we'll see you in 2019 then.
Yes, you will.
All right.
I shall see you guys then. All right. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, you too. And everybody, don't forget, you can go to Hillary's website, www.askhillaryblack.com, and on Facebook, Ask Hillary Black. And we're back tomorrow with Diana Monroe. And so thank you, everybody, for coming. And we will see you tomorrow night or the next time you're able to make it. And you take care. Have a good night.